Have we turned a corner on jobs?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Hi, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Just a few minutes into the trading day, a better job picture perhaps, and a powerful senator says it's time to call it quits. All that and more coming up. But first, we ask that question, where's Wall Street? Markets are mixed right now. Here in the States, we've got the S&P down by about 0.2%. The Nasdaq's flat right now. And the Dow is down about 0.1% as well. 14 points at 10,557. Shares in London, Paris, and Frankfurt all lower right now, about 0.25% or less. And Asian shares closed mostly higher today. American companies cut an estimated 84,000 jobs in December, according to ADP Employer Services. It's the smallest drop in almost 2 years. Richard DeKayser is president of Woodley Park Research. He's with us live this morning from Washington. Hi, Richard.
Good morning.
So this is a private employer's report, as opposed to the numbers we're going to get Friday from the Labor Department. How does this jibe, do you think, with what we're expecting in just a couple of days?
The ADP report is, without a doubt, the single most reliable predictor. Now, having said that, it is not a sure thing. So they're telling us that private sector payrolls fell 84,000 in December. Most economic forecasters think it's going to be break-even or even a modest gain. So there is a little bit of a discrepancy here. Now, in all fairness, as good as the ADP is, as I said, it's not perfect, and it has generally been coming up short for the past 6 or 7 months, the worst stretch in its career, falling short of the actual numbers we're trying to predict by almost 100,000 positions. So there's a big question. So far, they've been coming up short. Will they do so again in December? That remains to be seen 2 days away.
And so when we tack on what, government jobs and other jobs, not the private jobs, right? That's what will make up the difference.
Well, actually, government jobs have been basically flat over the course of the past year, neither gaining nor losing. So again, the ADP payrolls are based on all the various firms that they survey, but it's not a complete collection of the universe, and it's only an approximation of the real number. So the real number that we get on Friday is still what analysts are looking for, and again, ADP has generally been a good predictor, but it's fallen short over the past 6 or 7 months.
And Richard, we got another report showing employers last month announced the fewest number of planned layoffs since the beginning of the recession. I mean, taken together, do these reports indicate we've hit this turning point, do you think, in the labor market?
I think they do. You know, when we're at this stage of the cycle, businesses typically first stop firing, then they begin hiring. So there's a sequence to those two processes with the layoff activity slowing first. What this Challenger report told us is the decline in layoff activity does signal that we are at that turning point. Whether we've switched over to hiring mode, again, still not clear, but we'll have that information more in hand come Friday. At a minimum, we're certainly moving in that direction.
All right. Richard DeKayser joining us from Washington. Richard, thanks.
My pleasure.
The Senate Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd is expected to announce later today he's retiring. The Connecticut Democrats spearheaded efforts in the Senate to reform financial regulation. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer is with us live from Washington as well with the latest. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So what happens to those financial reforms now?
Yeah, well, political analysts are saying it could go either way, Steve. It could be a setback because Dodd is going from being a power broker to really a lame duck with a lot less influence. But some people think the reforms will actually have a better chance without Dodd. Dodd is, as you mentioned, a Democrat from Connecticut, which is home to a lot of insurance companies. And Dodd has raised millions of dollars from Wall Street employees who go home to Connecticut from New York each night. And I talked about this with Jordan Lieberman, the publisher of Campaigns and Elections Politics magazine.
Chris Dodd has baggage, let's be honest. If anything, this baggage has slowed down the cause of financial re-regulation. So a new chairman who does not have the same baggage that Chris Dodd will have actually probably a better chance of getting a good piece of legislation out of committee.
And Dodd had been falling in the polls, so some critics said he was trying to become a populist to appeal to voters.
Meanwhile, Dodd is likely, Nancy, to keep trying to get financial reform through the Senate. I mean, what happens after that?
Well, Dodd introduced a bill last November that would strip the Fed of its ability to regulate banks. And there are reports today from Reuters that key senators close to a bipartisan deal on keeping the Fed out of banking regulations. But even if a deal is reached in the Senate, the House still has to be convinced it passed a bill that does not strip the Fed of its bank regulation powers.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Officials from the European Union met in Athens today with the Greek government. They're trying to head off a financial crisis there that could have some global repercussions. Now, the country is in serious debt. An official from the European Central Bank says no bailout for Greece. And Greece says, well, we don't need one. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, January 6th, 2010, at marketplace.org. There are rumors that Prada is in talks to be acquired by the Swiss luxury goods company Richemont. Prada says it's not true, but nobody's denying that the Italian fashion powerhouse has a lot of debt and that it needs some cash if it's going to survive. We asked Elisa Roth to look at Prada's options.
Prada may be synonymous with fancy Italian fashion, but the company has more than $1 billion of debt, and the recession has all but shut down what used to be its biggest markets, Western Europe, Japan, and the U.S.
Prada needs to find additional funding.
John Guy follows the luxury business at MF Global Securities. He says Prada's tried and failed to go public a couple of times. It's also reportedly turned down a couple of offers from private equity firms. Guy says it'll need money to move into the markets where people are still buying luxury goods, emerging economies in places like Asia and the Middle East.
Now, whether or not that comes from a listing or whether or not that comes from selling part of their business privately, they definitely do need to find additional funds.
Guy says he wouldn't be surprised if a small, family-owned company like Prada got gobbled up. Some of its competitors have done okay during the recession and seem to be in the mood for a little shopping spree. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Like a lot of states, Pennsylvania has some big budget problems. And that state is counting on gambling revenue to close the gap. If a law to allow table games such as poker and blackjack doesn't pass this week, the governor of the Keystone State says he's going to have to institute some big layoffs. Joel Rose reports.
For weeks, Governor Ed Rendell has been threatening to furlough nearly 1,000 state workers unless a gambling bill reaches his desk by Friday.
There comes a time when we have got to start saving money. You know, and I'm sorry, folks, I didn't cause this crisis.
The Democratic governor and Republican lawmakers managed to close a $3 billion budget gap last fall, but that deal depended on $250 million in tax revenues from table games, which are still illegal in Pennsylvania casinos. Without that money, Rendell says he'll have to cut even more.
It is painful for me. I've just agonize about firing anybody. So for me to lay off 1,000 people this year, if there was any way possible I could avoid it, I would avoid it.
Lawmakers from both parties say they're close to a deal that will prevent layoffs. But the ongoing drama reveals a state government that's so polarized it can barely function, says Franklin and Marshall College political scientist Terry Madonna.
We are now in January in a new calendar year, and we still have not concluded last year's budget. So this is the longest period of time in modern state history that the state has not completed its budget deliberations from the previous fiscal year.
Even if they do make this week's deadline, Pennsylvania lawmakers won't get much of a break. The governor is due to present his budget for the next fiscal year in about a month. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
The health services company HealthSouth was site of one of the biggest accounting frauds of the past decade, totaling more than $2.8 billion. 15 employees pleaded guilty to fraud. Fired CEO Richard Scrushy was acquitted of any wrongdoing. He's serving prison time for an unrelated bribery conviction. Aaron Beam and Scrushy co-founded HealthSouth back in the 1980s. Beam is the former chief financial officer. He served 3 months in prison for that fraud. His new book, Wagon to Disaster, gives his version of the accounting scandal, and he joins us this morning. Aaron Beam, hello.
Good morning.
How did it get started?
Well, we did a lot of what I call aggressive accounting, capitalizing of things that was acceptable by the auditors. We did that from the very beginning, but the out-and-out fraud didn't start until we'd been a public company for about 10 years. And Richard just did not want to disappoint Wall Street by reporting a bad quarter. And he gave us a long speech about how the company was doing good, and if we could just get him through this quarter, everything would be okay. And My chief accountant, Bill Owens, actually suggested, making fraudulent entries. And Richard said, that's fine if that's what we need to do.
And he also served time as well, Bill Owens, right?
He did.
How did it get reported? I mean, for so long, these numbers were made to advertise, as you said, to Wall Street, that everything was better at the company. I mean, what took this pyramid of lies down?
Well, it was actually the law that was enacted because of Enron, and it emphasized that if you were the CFO and you were signing off on financial statements that were fraudulent, you could go to prison for a much longer time. And Weston Smith, who was the CFO at the time, just couldn't take it, and he called the FBI and reported that there was fraud on the books at HealthSouth.
You started a new business in Baldwin County, Alabama, just outside of Mobile. Is that in Loxley?
It's in Loxley, and I have a lawn service business. I have no employees. It's just me. But I'm living my life honest now, and there is a lot of peace of mind in that. When I mow somebody's grass and they pay me $50 in the heat in South Alabama, I know I've earned that money, and I sleep well at night.
Well, Aaron Beam, the founder and former CFO of HealthSouth Corporation, based in Birmingham, Alabama, and now doing some lawn work, and we appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you, Steve.
One of those who trade stocks online. A number of analysts on Wall Street have raised concerns recently about a slowdown in online trading activity. That calls into question the fortunes of Charles Schwab and TD Ameritrade, among others. More from Marketplace senior business reporter Bob Moon.
E-Trade might advertise that trading stocks is child's play, with those commercials featuring that wisecracking talking baby.
A lot of people are like, aren't you too young to invest in the markets? And, A, don't worry about it. I mean, you don't know how old I am. And B, I use E-Trade, so check it. Click.
But it's been mostly the big boys who've run up the markets in the past year. Once burned, twice shy mom-and-pop investors have largely stayed away. You might think the Dow's rebound above 10,000 would be an enticement, but in recent months, E-Trade reported plunging trading volume, and now market watchers worry others may follow suit. Morningstar analyst Jason Wren hints the market might be a victim of its own success.
There probably was a feeling as you rolled on through the course of 2009, people were afraid that they missed the boat.
That may have discouraged them from hopping on too late, and now talk of an impending correction could cause more doubts.
If things just kind of putter along and we're in this sort of malaise, trading volumes could stay depressed for quite some time.
Like the overall economic recovery, it seems restoring faith in stocks is a long, slow climb. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And finally, a human skull will be put up for bid later this month at Christie's. Officials say it perhaps belonged to Yale's mysterious Skull and Bone Society. Could go for $10,000 to $20,000. It apparently was used as a ballot box in the 1800s. Talk about your boneheaded elections. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.